It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hey, and thank you for joining me today. In November 2017, Maine voters passed a law requiring our state to expand Medicaid, which here is MaineCare, under the Affordable Care Act. Nearly 70,000 Maine people will be newly eligible for MaineCare beginning July 2nd, 2018. So this is a very new thing. We're talking about that today and what it means specifically for seniors. My guests are Darcy Shargo from the Maine Primary Care Association. She is the CEO of that organization. And Robin Winslow, who is the CEO of Hometown Health Center with locations in Dexter, Dover, Foxcroft, Newport, and Pittsfield. Ladies, thank you so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So this topic is controversial at best. It is a law now. Darcy, can you explain to me exactly what it means for Mainers to have the expansion? And it is a done deal now, correct?
It is and it isn't a done deal. So as you mentioned in your opening, in November of 2017, through the ballot initiative, we did actually pass Medicaid expansion for our state. And that means that individuals who have incomes up to 138% of the federal poverty limit.
Can you tell me what that is? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
you.
It's basically every year the government sets federal poverty limits. And those actually dictate how program eligibility gets determined for not only MaineCare or Medicaid, but also other programs. And so typically programs like the Medicaid program are targeted toward lower income individuals to help them afford coverage for care or health insurance.
Okay. And they are eligible between up to 138% of that?
Right, that is the expansion category for folks who are not eligible yet. And when you asked about the done deal and when I said yes and no, what I meant was that we went ahead and passed that law, but we have not yet been able to implement the expansion because there is not agreement at the State House here in Augusta about how to fund the expansion, which would require some additional staff at the Department of Health and Human Services to make those determinations about eligibility and to help people kind of figure out how to get to use the benefits in the Medicaid program, but just in general what the state's share is for the Medicaid program, because both the state and the federal government help to pay for Medicaid benefits for folks.
So,
and there have been some attempts to find that funding, and they have all been vetoed. And the last attempt was actually in the last month or so, and there has yet to be agreement. And so the implementation of the expansion is stalled.
I see. So I want to give out numbers of we'll get to the stalling in a second, but the numbers are, because people don't understand, I don't think, unless they have a chart, what 138% of the poverty level is. And so family size, the monthly income limit is 1,397. Family size, two people, 1,893, and it goes up from there. And you can get all of this information online at mainecahc.org. So when you say people are eligible to or have the ability to sign up July 2nd, if, let's say, Robin at Hometown Health Center does a big push to sign people up on roll right now, are they still going, will they get MaineCare / Medicaid at that point, or because it's stalled, should they be signing up?
They want everybody to start signing up, regardless of whether it goes through or not, as of July 2nd. So really the push is for us to get the information out to the patients, the community, anybody that we think would be eligible, and even the person, if they're not sure, go apply, and that's the best way to find out if you're eligible or not.
Yeah, and don't screen yourself out.
Yeah, and they can go to many different avenues to find where they can do this. They can go to their local health center in their area where they live. They can go on websites, Consumers for Affordable Care. I mean, for Affordable Health, there's a website, and that gives you all kinds of information. The Maine Justice Partners also has a whole toolkit. So there's many, many resources, and we need to get that information out to the communities.
So, Darcy, because it's stalled and, say, people are signing up, what does that mean for them?
Well, as Robin said, even if you're in doubt, you should go ahead and find a resource to help you enroll. And if you get rejected, it's important to appeal the rejection. It may be not necessarily because you're not eligible, but because there is some lack of clarity around how to handle these applications before there's full implementation of the expansion. And what we're hearing is that a lot of, at least for the health centers, as they're helping folks who might be eligible apply, they're also helping them kind of work through when they should be back in touch with MaineCare about their eligibility, and they're going to be keeping patients aware of how things are rolling out. But I think the bottom line is, even if it's still in limbo, it's really important because as of July 2nd, because of the law, people should be able to sign up. It's just a matter of when their coverage will actually start, given this the stalemate that's going on right now at in Augusta.
Okay, so just get some help, sign up, and then you may get coverage later.
That's right.
How does this Medicaid/MaineCare expansion help Maine seniors? Darcy?
It helps our patients and the community, our seniors, make sure that they know that there's options out there for some type of health care. If they qualify for MaineCare, that's great. If they don't, what are the other options out there for them? And there's many different resources. FQHCs as a whole, we have the sliding fee scale, which helps them. So we don't want it to be the barrier for them obtaining care, and that definitely is always the scary part, is am I going to afford my medications? How am I going to afford my health care, the things that I need?
And people age 50, because AARP says we're all seniors at 50.
Right.
People 50 to 64 may have nothing because they're not eligible for Medicare until 65. So those are the ones that This would help tremendously, correct?
Mm-hmm. Because they're in that coverage gap where they're sometimes too poor to qualify. There's not the right eligibility. They don't have the right parameters. And how do we make sure that they still can access high-quality care that's affordable?
Darcy, is everyone age 50 to 64 eligible, or do they have to be, are all seniors eligible to do this, even if they, and if they're older than 65, can they be dual eligible? Can they get MaineCare and Medicare under the new expansion?
So there's sort of two parts to the answer there. So only folks who are between the ages of 19 and 64 are going to qualify for expanded Medicaid under this new law. However, there are some other circumstances for folks who are over 64 by which they might be able to qualify even if they already have Medicare. So it's important to know that MaineCare is not going to be a replacement for Medicare. So if you are of Medicare age and able to apply, you should still move forward with that and not rely on the possibility of Medicaid only. But yes, there are some circumstances where folks can have they can be dual eligible for both of those programs, and that just gives them a little bit more access to some of the services that Medicare may not cover, for example.
But the expansion basically is 19 to 64.
Yes. It's okay. Targeted at that age range.
And the federally qualified health centers, which are amazing organizations all across the country, really work with the people who take MaineCare, because some doctors just don't take it because reimbursement rates are so low, correct? Darcy?
Correct. That's correct. Not all providers take MaineCare patients, and the health centers, and Robin can speak to this, I think even more, are actually required to take individuals as patients regardless of their insurance status. So I think she just mentioned actually that they have sliding fee scales for folks so that access is not denied just simply because you might not have the resources to pay for care.
So, Robin, you do have a sliding fee access,
yes,
right?
Because our mission is to treat the underserved, underinsured, regardless of their insurance. And so we accept all insurances, and then we also have the sliding scale, which, again, is based off the federal poverty level.
And that increases every year. So, and do you think someone should just not look at those numbers and screen themselves out? They should always ask?
Always ask. And even with the sliding scale, you qualify for some level on our plans.
Let's talk about other things that health centers do. You're not just medical. We're going to take a break in just a second, so be thinking about this when we come back. But health centers do behavioral health, dental. We're going to talk about that when we come back. There's more to come, so stay with us for more of Senior Talk. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, talking about Medicaid/Maine Care in Maine expansion. If you are 19 to 64, sign up and see if you qualify. There is so much help available. Health centers and online at maine.gov/mymaineconnection. They'll help you out as well. So when we left, we were talking about all the great things that health centers do, and you take all Maine Care patients, which is a gift, and you do medical services that would be expected, but also, Robin, dental, full-service dental, and behavioral health. Is that fairly typical among all health centers?
Yes. Many of the health centers offer a variety of different services. We all have different expertise specialists in our facilities. Some offer chiropractic, some offer acupuncture, some offer substance abuse treatment, behavioral health, medical, dental. And again, even with some of those programs, especially the elderly, Medicare does not cover dental services. So that's a huge gap for the elderly population. So that's where FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, come in play because, again, we have the sliding scale, and it's for all our services. It's not just for the medical.
That's very helpful, as you said, because dental problems can be a real strain on seniors and can lead to some serious conditions, like even malnutrition,
yes,
if they're not able to eat because they have such dental problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up on National Health Center Week, which is always a good time among health centers across the country. I know, Robin, you're doing some great things in Newport and Dexter. There's Touch a Truck in Newport and for the kids, which is terrific, as well as a barbecue, so you'll be feeding people. And there's also the Good Shepherd Mobile Food Pantry will be parked in Dexter in the middle of the week to give food to people who need it, because food insecurity is a huge problem across the state as well.
Right, and at those events during National Health Center Week is a great opportunity to come and meet with people, talk about the Medicaid expansion, how can we help people maneuver through this very frustrating and challenging aspect, especially with the application process.
Will you have applications ready at your events?
Yes, we will.
And you're also, I should mention, having a bike rodeo on the 16th. So a lot going on that week, in the middle of the week. So you're a member of the Maine Primary Care Association. And Darcy, again, as CEO, tell me what the Maine Primary Care Association is all about.
Sure. We are the membership organization of the federally qualified health centers across the state of Maine. So we have sites in every county. We actually have around 70 service locations across the state of Maine, and that ranges as far north as Fort Kent and actually as far south as North Berwick. So they really do cover the vast majority of the state, and they even go all the way eastward to Lubeck and westward to Rangeley. And in 2017, the health centers collectively served about 1 in 6 people in Maine. So we actually have a pretty big impact in terms of primary care, but also that integrated care that Robin talked about that's available in the vast majority of health centers. Our role as the Primary Care Association is essentially to support the health centers and to catalyze all the expertise that they have for positive change and better health in our state.
And it's not just for people who are low income and underinsured or uninsured. Is that right? Anybody can go to the health centers.
Absolutely.
Anybody. We accept all insurances, and even if you don't have insurance.
So anybody is eligible.
Yes.
To do that. And Robin, I know I just want to promote some of the unique things that you do since you're on the phone. Is every year you do a supper in Dexter. What made you start doing a community free supper?
There's many challenges for our rural areas, and by giving them different community events, opportunities to meet who we are and give back to the community, we provide a free public supper. In the winter time, when it's very challenging with the holidays and the cold and the heating, that's an opportunity for the whole family to come and get free food. We ask everybody to bring as many people as they can, and often it's looked at as kind of an evening out with the family.
And it's very well attended and helps with food insecurity.
Very. And food insecurity with the seniors is definitely a major problem, as well as access to medications.
And you also do Hands of Giving in the winter, where you give mittens away, right?
Yes. Yep. Right now we're getting geared up to do the to give the school supplies to the children going back to school. In the winter we look for blankets, jackets, hats, mittens, to make sure that everyone is kept warm as we possibly can help them.
It's an amazing, and I wanted to do these by way of example of some of the things. I'm sure other health centers across the state do these kinds of extras. And so it's really treating the whole person, not just their health, but also their situation in life, which I think is really a gift to the community as well. When we come back, we will talk more about the health centers and Health Center Week, which is August 12th through the 18th, and some of the things going on for that. So stay with us. If you'd like to hear this show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and listen to it in podcast form. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. If you'd like more information about the Maine Primary Care Association, a great organization, log on to MEPCA.org, MEPCA.org. You'll find out all kinds of things. So Health Center Week is coming up, as I said, August 12th to the 18th. Darcy, what is the importance of National Health Center Week? It is a really big deal for health centers across the country. What do you see it doing?
I think it's an opportunity for the health centers to tell their stories and to dispel some of the things that are out there. We talked earlier about this idea that people might think that you can only go to a health center if you're uninsured, when in fact they're open to anyone, regardless of what insurance they have or even if they don't have insurance. So I think it's a way to really underscore how important the health centers are in their communities. And this year's theme is actually Hometown Heroes, which is great, given that we have Hometown right here on the call today. But they really are central players in their communities. They employ a lot of local folks, and then they also give back to the communities in ways that you've already described in terms of the events that they put on. A lot of things going on around the state in that week. A lot of them are health fairs, where people can get tested. They can get their blood pressure tested, for example. They can get samples. A lot of places offer really good food. And then there are places like down in Portland that are having patient appreciation days or yoga in the park. So it's just an opportunity, I think, again, for the health centers to highlight their contributions to the community, but also to say thank you to their communities, who in turn support the health centers. One thing that we didn't talk about is that the health centers have boards that are actually the majority patients. So they actually are governed by their community members, which I think is very unique.
And important. And one of the great things about health centers is, Robin said, all of the things that they offer. You can get all your care under one roof. So your dental care, medical care, and any behavioral health that you might need. And that's really cool, too, because you really get to know the staff and the people, and it becomes more like a family. And so it's great that to dispel that myth that health centers are not just for people who are lower income or uninsured. They're really for everyone and give terrific primary care and dental services. Robin, what do you see in the time that we have left? Do you see any trends or challenges, opportunities that are happening in Maine when it comes to senior health?
I think one of the big things is access to prescription medications, because the elderly definitely don't have always the PharmD side of their insurance. And we offer the 340B programs throughout the state. We have the prescription assistance program. And with the expansion of Maine Care, if it does expand or doesn't, that definitely is one of the barriers for many people, is the prescription side. Medications are so costly, and they look at, do I get groceries or do I buy my medications? By having these programs, the cost savings is significant, and the money that we save our patients on these meds. For our prescription assistance program, last year we did 1.7 million of free medications to our patients, just our patients, and that is medications directly through the pharmaceuticals that we work with directly and do the applications and help the patients get these.
So I want to make sure I heard that right. You saved $1.7 million for patients in medication costs?
Yes, they got complete free medications for, and that's the cost savings that we gave back. So, and then also you have the 340B drug programs in the contracted pharmacies.
And that gives lower drug prices. If someone's a patient of yours and they do 340B, even if they have prescription, even if they have drug insurance, they can still get lower costs with 340B.
Yeah, because many times the 340B drug program is cheaper than their copay for their medications. But with the prescription assistance program, working directly with the pharmaceutical companies,
you get free medications.
Completely free. Yep.
That's a staggering number.
I think that's one of the biggest things we can help seniors with, because that medication cost is usually one of the biggest barriers, and so many times they're not taking their medications due to the cost.
Well, of course, and if they don't have a Medicare Part D program because they're not on Medicare yet, and you're in that window of 50 to 64, it's pretty serious.
Very.
I'm thinking diabetic medications.
Yep.
Darcy Chargeau, Robin Winslow, thank you so much for being here with me today. So much information, so critically important. If you'd like more information on Maine Primary Care, log on to mepca.org. If you want to know about Hometown Health Center, log on to hometownhealthcenter.org. And if you want to hear this show again, log on to wvomfm.com and hear it in podcast form. That's it for me. I'm Carol Higgins-Taylor. This is Senior Talk. Thanks for listening.